Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain, from the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
What a fucking week. We had our state, wrestling season is over for me. It's not a good thing. We had our state tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It is the worst performance we have had in over a decade. It just did not work. And then we had a little kid season today, and my little buddy fell short of his goals. He's got to learn to deal with his own anxiety. And it's something that his dad has struggled with. And it's something he's going to have to learn to struggle with too. So we are going to take some steps in the future to help him get better. And like, to be quite frank, I'm asking him to do not me personally, but like what our state organization asks for kids his age to do is something I wouldn't have been able to do at 8 years old.
Right.
You know, and I look back at my college wrestling career, and from where I had the second best record of anyone that graduated in my graduating class in the state of Illinois, right? Like I was nothing when I was in high school. So the fact of the matter is like, I got to like teach my kid that this life and death do not make when you're 8 years old. So yeah. Like, you know, it was an emotional day for my little buddy. And it's just crazy. It's just emotional for me. My principal's daughter, you know, is on the team. She's like, why don't you take the day off tomorrow? Let's just take a personal day. So I may do that.
Okay.
I'm fried. Like, I cannot wait to talk pro wrestling today, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had, anxiety issues when I played sports too, when I was a kid, especially wrestling. There was a wrestling match that I lost before the match even started one time. Because the gymnasium was just completely full, right? And it was my first match on a bigger stage. We moved from the middle school to the high school. So the high school was hosting the meet. And I thought the whole city was there. In my head, the whole city was there, right? And everybody was in the stands waiting for me to just mess up. And I go in, and the guy that I'm going with was probably going to beat me anyway. And that was probably also messing with me because he just had a lot more experience than me. So I went in there and I got pinned in like 30 seconds. I was gassed out before that match even started. Right. And I completely had no idea. I lost all my training. Everything would just like, I drew a blank. I went in there and I just got pinned, cradled within 30 seconds. It was bad.
I'm a firm believer that most wrestling matches end before the whistle blows.
Yeah.
Like most of the time, like the outcome has already been decided by the participants. Right. Not all the time. But a lot, but the majority of the time. I'm a firm believer in that. And today, my buddy just got himself all worked up. And like, he suffers from anxiety. And we just got to, I want him to learn to deal with this now, right?
Yeah.
As a kid. Because it permeates other aspects of his life. Like, because he's good enough to be on, but he's fried mentally. Like, he just couldn't. So I got to be better. I got to be better as a coach and dad. And it's hard to be a dad coach. So we gotta figure that out. So by the time he gets into high school, he's fine. Cause you know, he wants to do what I did and he wants to do in college right now. He's young. Who knows if that's gonna be a real thing or not. But you know, so we gotta figure out how to get better, you know? And that's what I keep telling him. That's what it's all about. It's not about, no one gives a crap what you did when you were 8 years old, you know. It's about getting better. And we're gonna work on getting better, you know. So it's not fun, but I mean at the same time, maybe the best thing that could have happened to us in the long run.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I'm sure you're well aware of who Chael Sonnen is, but he said something on an old episode of Ultimate Fighter when he was a coach, because he had, he himself had performance anxiety issues where he set of Anderson Silva in a world title match. And by the end of the match, he had gotten himself in a triangle choke with like 30 seconds left, right? Because he just, for whatever reason, just like his mind started playing tricks on him, mm-hmm. and he just put himself in the worst possible position, and he lost to the greatest of all time in Anderson Silva. And he had, but in train, like that whole fight he was winning, and then in training he was beating up everybody. He was the best he's ever was, also on steroids, which helped him, which helped him. But he actually went and saw like a sports psychologist. And one of the things he said to his fighters when they were in practice getting ready for their fights is he said, just like, if you think of a balance beam that's like 3 feet in the air and you're walking across the balance beam, you probably got no anxiety, no issues, no nothing like that. Now you move that up 3 more feet and all of a sudden, like, the environment has changed, but the task mm-hmm. remains the same. Mm-hmm. And then your mind starts playing tricks on you. You didn't do anything different, right? You're still going across, you're still doing the same task. The environment has changed. And I used that whenever I was in my, you know, military career, because I'm a, what is it called? An emergency responder, like a Seaburn hazmat certified responder. So we'd have to put on these level A suits and go out there, and it's my job. So if there's like, there was a hazmat spill, or if we've been attacked with like a nerve agent or a chemical gas or anything with radiation or biological, it's my job to go figure out what it is. Right. And I put on all the suits and go do that. And we were doing it in training all the time. And then we got into like a real exercise where everybody was watching, and I started to kind of freak out a little bit. I was like, I was doing good in the lab. I'm doing good with just my team. But when everybody's there, all of a sudden I'm starting to lose IQ points. And then I remembered that it's like, no, the environment's changed. There's just more people there, but the task remains the same. You got to go in there and get it done. And dude, I tell you what, I went in there, and this was like maybe 10 years ago. And I went in there and I just fucking nailed it. Just absolutely nailed it. Went into the scene, you know, people yelling at you, like, you got to get in there, you got to get out quick, you got to find out what it is. Just kept my cool the entire time. In fact, they took my vitals before I went into the level A suit. So the level A suit is like a fully encapsulated suit, right? Mm-hmm. To where no air gets in, no air gets out. You're wearing an SCBA tank on the back and all that stuff. They took my vitals in, and I had my heart rate was a little high before I went in. When I got back out, it was like way lower. They're like, they've never seen that before. Usually people are like worse when they come out, but for whatever reason, I just started saying stuff like that to myself, and I got the job done and come out. I was like cool as a cucumber, and I've never had an issue like that since. Just a wild analogy.
So I love this. I love stories like this, because like, as a coach, I'm always, I hear this quote from coaches all the time, other coaches. They're like, that kid is weak. That kid's mentally weak. He's just fragile. You know, he chokes. And it's like, yes, he does right now. But that is something that you can fix. Mm-hmm. Like, that is one of the few, I tell kids all the time, the only thing that you have control over is your effort. That's it. That's the only thing you can control is how hard you try. If you get beat, you get beat. You know, if you win, you win. But I mean, like, really, the only thing you can control is how hard you try, how hard you go. Being tough is effort.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be learned. That is a learned skill. I was not the toughest little kid. Like, this might shock some of you to learn this, but I am an emotional guy. Like,
really?
I should tell a story today. I actually cost my son a match. I don't want to get into that. But, it is something that I worked on a lot from high school, like through high school, but it's like, you're learning. And in a college, I really focused on how to be like stronger mentally and not let myself get swallowed in the moment. And it helped like immensely. And there's still moments right now. I think as an adult, I don't, like you said, I don't choke when pressure's on, because I place myself in situations like this time and time and time and time mm-hmm. again. But when you're young, you're not there. And right. like, it's so hard to learn those things on your own. And as a coach and as a dad, I vowed that, okay, I'm going to teach this, because I've taught it to a lot of high school kids. High school kids can be more receptive to criticism and flaws than children. So, and we have to do things a little differently, but it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done immensely, because my little dude's tough. He just gets scared sometimes. But like, oh, so we got to control. Okay, how do we do this? How can we fix that? Like, how can you learn how to be more mentally tough. And your story is proof, is just total proof that it can be done, especially in like the military. Like, you're taking kids and you're teaching them how to survive, right? And yeah, there's two choices, you do or you don't, right? So it's totally, I hate that. I hate that phrase, like, oh, he can't do it, he's fragile. Only because we let him be. Only because we let him. Only because we haven't, someone hasn't said, look, you're here, you need to get there. Let's freaking do this together. So, you know, I love this shit.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Well, sorry things didn't go your way during wrestling season, but we got another one coming up. So
it doesn't matter. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep getting better.
That's right. Absolutely. Antonio Baker in the chat. Bang, bang, Niner Gang. What's up, Antonio? And King of the North. Good morning, Mike and JD. What's up, man? How are you?
Congrats on the big win, King.
So we're 1-1 with Canada. I actually sat and watched the overtime with USA and Canada. And I'm not a hockey guy.
Me neither.
Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I've been to a hockey game, but I've never actually like sat down and watched it on TV. This same. USA and Canada shit has got me into it because we're at war with Canada right now. So I'm like super, like, I think it's cool when two countries like can have like this rivalry and we're super patriotic, you know, and then by the end of it, we're all friends again. But I like this right now, like two countries going at it in sports. I think it's a beautiful thing.
It's like 1997 all over again with the US versus Canada, steering it back into pro wrestling. Hey, what's the vibe right now in the military, by the way, Mike? Are we going to war with Canada? Is that like, what's like, what are you guys thinking? Are you like storming the border looking for Molson or something like that?
No. In fact, we have a, obviously I'm in an Air Force base and we have an active flight line here, and there was a Canadian Air Force plane just here. So we got some Canadians in town right now. And actually last week I saw some Aussies in town. I was going to ask them about Grand Slam Australia, but one guy just said, oh, biscuits. Or how does Bluey's dad, have you ever watched Bluey?
I miss Bluey. My kid.
Oh,
my
you
kid
missed the Bluey. Oh, Bluey. Yeah. Bluey's dad banded. I was says, oh, biscuits. I can't do an Aussie. Like, accent,
it's harder than you think, like the Australian accent.
Hello,
like,
love.
You try it in Australia.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Very people look like you're stupid by trying it.
Yeah, that's funny. Caracol L face. Hey, we're gonna get to the Shane TK situation because I think that's hilarious. We're gonna get to the Shane.
A lot of TK news this week, guys.
Yeah, a lot of TK news. So we're gonna do something a little bit different this week. I was telling JD, I was like, hold on, Suit Williams in the chat. Australian accents always slip into Scottish. Yeah, for sure.
So ACDC is what you're telling me.
Yeah, basically. Okay. So we're actually gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna count down the 10 biggest stories of the week per Grok AI on Twitter. Now, it took me a couple of prompts to get to this point, but this is what Grok said, and one of them is still so inaccurate that I'm leaving it. I'm just gonna read it as is because I just think that how inaccurate it is pretty freaking funny.
What's with Grok? Like, of all the AI chat functions, that is the far and away the worst name I've ever heard in my life. That's like a sound you make.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's Elon, right? So he changed Twitter to X. It's Grok. Yeah, the Department of Government Efficiency is called, you know, Doge is named after his meme coin. That is a whole nother story for another day, and not even a political. We could probably get into like a philosophical thing about what they're doing. And not a political thing. I think there's some good and some bad going on with that situation.
When you leave the military, we'll have.
When I leave the military this summer, we could probably get into that. I'll just get into one thing. He's requiring federal employees to list 5 things they've gotten accomplished this week, and I'm like, that's not even your idea. We do that all the time. It's called a weekly activity report. I have to submit one to the commander. We have to submit one like through our command, right? That gets briefed to the wing commander, and then he takes all of the best activities and briefs that up, and then ultimately it ends its way up to the Pentagon, right? Like, that is a normal thing that we've been doing forever. I think some federal agencies just haven't been doing that, and they should have been the entire time. And so I think they're trying to get back to doing that. But at least in the military, like on my side as a guy in leadership, that's something that I've been doing for years. So that's a normal thing for me.
My sister-in-law works with the CDC. They do the same thing. So. Yeah. I know it makes for great news, but I don't think people realize how efficient government agencies actually are. I know that's the meme, but I mean, a lot of this stuff functions better than you think it does.
Yeah. Oh, so, look, Fights Alive. When are they going to talk about wrestling? We started with wrestling.
This is a Voices of Wrestling show. You have to say, I'm out of this BS.
See later, bro.
Like, this is a Voices of Wrestling show. This is, we banter. We banter, man.
But now that Fight to Live is gone, we're going to start talking wrestling.
Let's talk wrestling. See ya. I think it's Fight to Live, not Fight to Live.
Ask Grok. I put in some prompts. Like, I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure top 10. It was probably going to tell me, like, Liv Morgan lost a match or something. You know what I mean? Like, something like that. So I wanted to make it specific to, like, what our show would be. So this is the top 10 stories for the Mike and JD show per Grok. I'm going to get into it. And at number 10, and I'm actually going to read the prompt. I'm going to read what Grok wrote. Number 10, Elijah debuts in TNA Wrestling. Elijah, previously known as Elias in WWE, made his TNA debut on the February 20th, 2025 episode of TNA Impact. According to Fightful Select, Elijah signed with TNA following his WWE release in 2023. During the episode, he participated in a surprise match, marking his first appearance in the promotion. This debut aligns with TNA's ongoing partnership with WWE. No, it doesn't.
How does that work? That,
no. Which has resulted in talent exchanges. He doesn't work for WWE. This is not a talent exchange.
Involving
Jordan Grace. Elijah's arrival adds a new med card presence to TNA. In fact, Elijah's in the main event.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you sure about the med card thing?
Grok, you're not doing so. I think the fact that it's wrong is hilarious, so I'm just going to let it roll.
Oh, let it roll, man.
Yeah, with his musical persona and in-ring style potentially positioning him as a unique draw. Reports also noted a cryptic video involving Elijah, AEW's Vincent and Dutch, but TNA secured his services, closing speculation about other promotions. JD, what are your thoughts about Elijah signing with one TNA Wrestling?
2 weeks ago, you posted that would be my nightmare if that happens. And we are currently living Mike Gilbert's nightmare. I saw that and I'm like, I cannot wait to talk to Mike about this because Elias sucks. That is weird, though, that he did that video with the Righteous where it looked like he was joining them. And then no.
So I rewatched it.
Yeah.
That's an old video that the Righteous posted.
Yeah.
Whenever they were getting into when they had left. So Vincent, remember, he was in TNA, right?
Yes.
Dutch never was, but Vincent was. And so when Vincent was done with TNA, him and Dutch started posting videos together before they got with Ring of Honor. I think what Elijah did, or at least one of his fans did, is just like using
video,
just edit it. It's just put him in it. Right. So he just edited into the video. I think that's all that was.
I thought he was doing it to get buzz.
And then he fooled Dave Meltzer, and Dave Meltzer reported that he had signed, but Sean Ross Sapp immediately said, no, not only did he not sign with Ring of Honor, TNA is interested in him. And that's when I knew, it was like, shit, he's going to TNA. Like, I knew at that moment, that's what was going to happen.
I thought there was a shot of the three of them walking together. Maybe I imagined that. Maybe
I think he was just edited into the video. I think he got it was just a really good edit of him like doing it. I think it was just something that he was doing to get people talking.
I'm a video production teacher. The fact that slid by me is absolutely pathetic on my part. Like, yeah. I'm embarrassed and wounded.
I mean, I could be wrong. JD, you go back and watch it.
We'll
talk about it next week. I could be wrong, but that's my read on the situation.
Can we watch it, or are we going to get nuked if we watch it on the show?
It's probably something we could do on Patreon, but we can't do it on YouTube because I think we would get nuked because AEW owns the copyright footage. And I got nuked for watching an angle on Smoky Mountain. I was like, I didn't even think anybody paid attention. I watch Smoky Mountain on YouTube all the time, but yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is the kind of guy they're signing right now. Like, the fact it's not going to make for better TV for me, but I am no longer the host of Brace for Impact. Yeah. So there's no skin off my back.
Yeah. So when I saw Sean Ross Sapp's report, and then I saw that Joe Hendry was doing an encore live concert in Full Sail University, I was like, oh my God, Elijah's going to come out and interrupt him. And I was almost right. The Colognes are actually the ones that interrupted Joe Hendry. And then they went to attack Hendry, and then Elijah made the save. And then in the main event, Joe Hendry teamed with Elijah to defeat the Colognes. And now they're going to go on to main event and Sacrifice. I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but they're actually doing a big match to Sacrifice with Elijah and Hendry and a bunch of other people teaming up against a bunch of other people. So they're doing a big thing there. But
Mike, I'm so checked out on TNA. I had no idea Primo and Epico were in TNA.
They weren't in. This was their first night in the company.
Okay.
I honestly, I don't even think they're signed. I think they're just like, hey, you guys like are in the area and are willing to lose matches, and they've immediately lost two matches during the tapings, and they're going to go to Sacrifice and be part of another big match and lose again. So I think that's all that is, but
they're the definition of a good hand, right? Like they're solid workers. Like, they probably should get more work. The TNA should probably sign them.
They look a little old and they were a bit out of shape. You know, well, I think, yeah, you know, so I was like, I don't have anything against the Colognes being in TNA. I think that you need teams to lose matches.
Yeah. So, agreed.
Yeah.
Like someone's got to lose. Like everyone wants a push, but not everyone can get a push. Somebody's got to get pinned, and the Colognes are pretty good about it.
You know, you want to know my biggest problem with Elijah in TNA was, he was over. Like they treated him like it was John Cena coming through the curtain. You know, it was Full Sail. So you got to understand the context.
The full sail.
He was over. He was over in WWE. Mm-hmm. Eventually his shtick got old. Right. And then once the shtick got old, he couldn't back it up in the ring. Like they couldn't follow through with it. And he wasn't good enough in the ring for WWE. What makes you think he's good enough in the ring for other companies? Now, he could prove us all wrong, and maybe he's updated what he does in the ring, and he's got some more depth to the character. There's more layers there. I don't know, but he's here now, and so, like, now he's part of the coverage that I'm going to be doing for TNA.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't agree with everything you said. Now, the Full Sail crowd is notorious for having their favorites, right? And giving like weird impressions about how over people were. Remember, let us not forget Adam Rose. Like, and there was plenty of like Full Sail stories like that. And Elijah, whatever the hell his name is now, right. It could absolutely be one of those because he's just similar fans. So, I dislike this thing where we're guys come from WWE that they're automatically like the biggest superstar wherever they go. I hate that because God, it's been over a year since that guy's been on TV. So, whatever.
Yeah. So what I will say is, to his credit, he has been working in the indies. He has not been a guy that's been resting on his laurels. He's been out there doing stuff. Mm-hmm. He's been working all the big indies, like doing all the GCW shows, Wrestling Revolver, all that stuff.
Good for him. He's trying.
So we will see. It just sucks that the last thing I ever want to do is come on my own show and have to eat shit. Because I was making fun of AEW for signing him, and now TNA signed him. But to my credit... They're AEW fans that were starting to talk themselves into it a little bit. They're just like, you know what? He kind of fits with the Righteous. He kind of fits with them a little bit. And I think one of those people was JD. I think one of those people.
Mike froze on me, so I can't really. I do think he fits with them because the gimmick is what it is. I do think it could have worked. It would have been on Ring of Honor. I never had to watch it.
Yeah. Well, and the difference is that it looks like he's going to be a main event guy.
Right. At TNA. We're in AEW, he'd have been in Ring of Honor where I didn't have to watch it. So it would have been much better that way for me. Actually, for you. Actually, it's fine. Actually, the way it worked out is even better. You can watch it. I don't have to.
Yeah. So they did the main event and with Hendry and Elias. Elijah, sorry, versus the Colognes, and the match wasn't bad just because they had tons of crowd heat. Because again, that Full Sail crowd loves Joe Hendry, obviously, and the Colognes are decent heels, they're decent wrestlers, and Elijah was super over, and they made Elijah out to be the big babyface. He's the one that got the hot tag. So,
he's debuting, so you got to do that.
I think what they're doing is they're building up to Elijah turning on Hendry. And then at the pay-per-view, they're going to do Joe Hendry versus Elijah. And that might go down as one of the like worst big matches of the year.
That's going to be a pay-per-view main event.
That's my guess. Okay. I'm usually pretty good at this. But that's my guess.
I know you are. By the way, thanks for making me eat shit on live. I appreciate that greatly. What else Grock got to say?
All right. Number 9. Oh, you know what? Thank you. Everything Pro Wrestling. You must, You must be a soothsayer, sir. Number 9, Ricky Saints. Ricky Saints has signed with NXT. So Ricky Starks debuted in NXT on February 18, 2025, episode under the name Ricky Saints, following the expiration of his AEW contract. Actually, he was released. He was released. He asked for his release, and he was released. So I got to correct Grock again. Starks competed in a match. No, he didn't. Showcasing his charisma and wrestling ability, immediately positioning himself as a significant addition to NXT's roster. Still hasn't wrestled there, Grock. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter reported Stark's move to the WWE could signal a trend of AEW talent transitioning to WWE, given the expiration of multiple contracts. So Miro and Malakai Black, that actually might be true. That actually might end up being true. His debut has sparked discussions about his potential trajectory, including a possible main roster call-up or a dominant run in NXT. So Ricky Starks is in NXT now. We talked about that last week. What do we think of the name Ricky Saints?
I don't like Ricky Saints. I know he'll become famous with that name. I don't think it has a very good ring to it. Like yeah. Ricky Saints, it just, I don't know. Not a fan. Ricky Saint, I think, works a little bit better. Like the pluralization on Saints. Well, is-
and it has, and then also there was a wrestler, like a legendary Johnny Saint, right?
Johnny Saint.
Could have played off. Yeah, they could have played off of, but he's from New Orleans, so he's trying to be Ricky Saints. So.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's even worse now that you say it like that. Right. That's like I'd be JD Bears. Like that's, or Michael 49er. Like that's.
Right.
Doesn't work. That being said, I think he's going to be the most over guy in NXT within a month because he's really great on the mic. He is really good at the stuff that they love in WWE. Here's the problem. He's very small. He's going to get to the main roster, and I don't see him moving past a mid-card position.
And that's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. I just don't want to hear how the Tony missed the boat on Ricky Starks things when I don't think he did.
No.
Like, I think Mickey, and he's good. He's a good, like, this thing is, there's not, being in the mid-card is not a bad thing, right? No. It's a good thing. Like, you can have a long, healthy career and make a lot of money being in that mid-card. I just don't. I'm hesitant to say Tony dropped the ball on a guy who didn't want to do anything they threw at him. You know, like
yeah. And he did do an interview and he said that it wasn't there wasn't like an issue with a lot of creative. I think the only thing that he turned down was
he didn't want a few with Big Bill.
Big Bill, yeah. But he said that there were veterans in that company that were kind of messing with his creative, and people are like. Signaling that might have been Jericho. I don't know. That's just a rumor. But look, know.
Jericho's the boogeyman over there. Jericho gets blamed for it. And it's possible he did. But I find that anytime there's a problem over there, people immediately point to Chris Jericho. And I don't quite get why.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think because when Jericho feuds with people, they're never more over than they were before they got with him. Like they never end up in a better position. I think Ricky Starks is one of those guys.
Orange Cassidy was in a better position after a feud with Jericho. I think that's not accurate. Like I think that's I think Chris Jericho has feud with guys beneath him quite a bit. And I think like how high up was Action Andretti gonna get? How high up? Like look at the guys that he's like. You tell me MJF wasn't a main eventer after a feud with Chris Jericho? Like I think that's
one could argue he was gonna get there anyway.
One could argue he was going to get there anyway, but I mean, at the same time, like, but that shows the trend is not accurate. Like Orange Cassidy moved up, MJF moved up. It turns out people with a lot of talent go raise up. Like that's just the reality of it. Chris Jericho, if anything, I find him too giving on television.
Right.
Because he wants to work with anybody. Like, I find that people are just willing to, I think a lot of it is with his political beliefs. Of which mine are the opposite of his. So I'm not trying to cover for him. I just think that there is something
to that. Because I think people started to sour on him whenever he started questioning the results of the 2020 election. And that's when people started to sour on him. And it's like, well, he's a Republican. I can't like him. And I think that's just not cool. Mm-hmm. Now, I think one could say I don't like him now because his segments aren't any good anymore and he's kind of not great in the ring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say he's kind of like well past, you know, a guy that should be on TV every week. I'll just say that.
Here's the problem.
I'm not a fan of Learning Tree.
Me neither. Here's the problem though. He's freaking over everywhere he goes.
True.
Yeah. Like people say, I'm still over Jericho. And then he walks out there and people go crazy for him still. And everything he does gets over. Granted, there's a smaller audience now, but they're not crickets. They're not sitting on their hands when Chris Jericho's out there.
Right.
So I don't know. I think people are tired of him. I can't argue that. But I also think the idea of making him pro wrestling and AEW's boogeyman for every problem is silly.
Yeah. Well, and to Ricky's credit, he did not point the finger at Jericho.
I think
people in the chat was Nathan said maybe Edge. Yeah, Edge kind of killed him in a promo one time because Ricky Stark called him bug-eyed and Edge just squashed him in a promo, killed him dead. Well, but I don't know that it was Edge. So
you're with that line in Avengers Endgame, if you're going to go for the head, like,
yeah,
you're going to go for a veteran. You gotta go. Like, yeah. I thought Ricky handled himself very professionally. He didn't bury Tony Khan. He didn't bury AEW. He said it was personal, but nothing like, I don't know. There is some bad blood there but I think that's any job you leave. Everyone leaves a job. Well, like, I could have done more, which is good. You should think that.
You know what? And what I don't like, and every fan bases for every company does this, and it drives me up the wall. It's driven me up the wall about TNA fans forever. It's like, well, he's not that good anyway, and he's going to go over there and suck. Right. And that's not the case with Ricky. Like, Ricky was very good. I think Ricky have been pushed more? I think everybody could be pushed more, but it's like when you say that, then you have to say who should be pushed less, and you don't have access to all the numbers that they have access to. There might have been a reason why he was slotted the way he was slotted, because that roster over there is completely stacked. I think NXT is the perfect situation for him because they don't have a lot of stars there. And people are like, why would they even put him on NXT? Why is he being relegated to NXT? First, he's not being relegated to NXT.
They have a major TV deal. They have to get people to recognize.
Yeah, right. And NXT is the third most watched show in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So he's not being relegated. He upgraded his stock by going to NXT, leaving AEW, being on the fourth and fifth number rated shows in America. He left those two shows to go to the third. He's not been relegated anywhere. In fact, he's going to go over there, and hopefully he's going to make that program better. And they could use the help, because that's one of the worst goddamn shows I've ever seen in my life. Like, I can't. TNA is actively involved in that show, and I have a TNA podcast, and I just refuse to watch it. Fucking Moose was on this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing Moose and Obafemi go at it. But I will be damned if I sit through a 2-hour episode of NXT. I can't do it.
I don't know how anybody watches NXT. It is wrestling that is just not for me. Like, I cannot think of a single thing on the show that I like. So, I'm happy for him though. He wanted to be in WWE. He's made that obvious for years, which I think is also one reason Tony's not pushing him as hard. Like, if you're actively campaigning to go to the other place, why am I going to push you? Like, it doesn't make sense. Why am I going to invest in you? Like, if anything, I think Tony's hung on to these guys for too long.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, because they turned him into a martyr. And to Ricky's credit, he has never once come out and bashed anybody.
Nope.
He has not. He has been a professional. Mm-hmm. And he didn't try to get out of his contract in an unprofessional way the way Pentagon and Phoenix did, right?
Andrade.
So, yeah. So I think you gotta cheer on Ricky Saints now. I'm not a fan of that name either. But you know what? I also wasn't a fan of the name change from Walter to Gunther. And now I honestly sometimes I forget that he was Walter. Like, for a while,
I think what helps there is his body changed so much that it almost seems like Walter and Gunther are different people. So I think that in that case, it kind of works because he just looks so different now. So,
Well, it's just WWE bullshit, and it's like a name change for the sake of a name change. It's like changing happy to glad, and I'm just like, I'm just not with it. So, like, the principle of the matter is what pisses me off. But Ricky Saints is whatever. It's a fine name. I hope the guy becomes a big star and makes millions of dollars for real. I hope so.
He's very talented. I think right away he's the most talented guy on that roster. There's not a more talented. There's not a, honest to God, I don't think there's a better professional wrestler in NXT right now than Ricky Saints.
Bell to bell promo wise, I don't think you're wrong.
Like the total package.
Yeah, total package. Bell to bell, I think
there's some good guys in NXT.
Nathan Frazier. Axiom is really good too.
Yes,
I think what Wesley's pretty good. But I think as far as the total package, I think he's like the guy that's got the most star potential. Obafemi is going to be a WrestleMania main eventer. Watch out for that name. Him and versus Moose is going to be insane. And Javon Evans, pretty good too. I just want to give a shout out right here to Seth Rich Rogan says Javon Evans. Yeah, I think so. Okay. The number six story. No, number eight. Sorry. Number eight story. According to Grok. This one is probably the worst of them all. It's such bullshit that I love it. Literally nothing that they said is true. So this is going to be the best.
Okay.
WrestleMania 41 matches taking shape. WWE's plans for WrestleMania 41, scheduled April 19th and 20th in Las Vegas. Okay, that part's true. Continue to develop this week. Reports from the Wrestling Observer Radio and PW Insider confirmed that Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens is set as a marquee match. Guys, That is not true. I don't in fact think that they're wrestling at all. I don't think that they're wrestling at all. I don't think that's actually a rumored match, stemming from their ongoing rivalry following Crown Jewel 2024. Well, they did have a rivalry before. Drew McIntyre's opponent remains undecided, with speculation pointing to Damian Priest. Yeah, that's true. Due to recent interactions on WWE Raw. Jey Uso, after winning the 2025 Royal Rumble on February 1st, is expected to challenge for a world championship, likely against Cody Rhodes or the WWE Universal Champion. Doesn't say the name. Guys, it's already been decided. Jey is wrestling Gunther. Yeah. Elimination Chamber event on March 1st will further refine these plans, solidifying the card. So that was Grok. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful with reading AI verbatim.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Suit Williams has a good point here. He says the conversation with NXT turns to how they've turned away from the trainees to the established veterans again.
Cycle of life, man. This is what NXT does.
It is. But like Triple H is in charge now, and this is Triple H's NXT. There's a good mix of green guys and veterans. And how do you get these green guys over? You have them working with the veterans, right? And so they're going to turn them out. Plus, they have a two-hour TV show, again, on a big network, not as big as Fox NBC, but, you know, like number four, I think. It's like number four as far as broadcast goes, right?
Five.
So we got Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS. Okay, five, yeah. So five. So, and they're turning out good numbers every week. Even whenever numbers are down, they're still number three. Right. So they're still doing a good job. So I get why they would mix in veterans. If they had more veterans on the show, I might watch, because the green kids are terrible.
That's the thing too, is when NXT was doing all the veterans, it was a better show. But like when they went to the NXT 2.0 and went all into the trainees, they didn't get better. Right. No. That was what everyone said, is that nobody's getting better. It's the problem of NXT. So now they fixed the problem again. So right. I think it makes sense.
I think now they have a good balance of both, because they went way too hard with, it was basically a glorified Ring of Honor with production values at one point, right?
Yes.
When they had, you know, Adam Cole and Samoa Joe and Finn Balor and all those guys, Nakamura. And then they went away from that completely. And then it was just straight up wrestling school. Now they have churned out some talent when they went to the wrestling school era, Bron Breakker, Trick Williams, Tiffany Stratton. They have gotten some people that have turned out to be pretty good, and they're going to do some damage on the main roster. But now that if you add more veterans to it, now you can have a good balance and maybe it'll be good again. I don't know. But right now it stinks. I can't watch it.
I think you've got some potential, but all those, I mean, like Tiffany Stratton's probably the best worker that's come out of that, right? Bron Breakker's limited.
He's awesome though. Limited.
Yeah, but he's squashing people.
I know. He's so cool though.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, like I get it. That always gets over, but it always has a limit, right? There's always a limit. He didn't get. Are you going to tell me like that Bron Breakker got as good as he should have gotten in those years?
I'm trying to remember the match, and somebody in the chat will remind me. But man, he had a really good match recently, and I just cannot for the life of me remember who.
He's on the main roster now. Yeah. Now he's getting better now. But the whole idea is to get them ready. And like the argument is they didn't do a good enough job getting that group of kids ready. You know, they got to be better. Like, of course, when you take a big jack dude and have him just eat people alive, they get over. Like wrestling has taught me that since Bruno Sammartino, you know that, and Bruno was good, so I don't want to say Bruno wasn't good, but I mean, like, come on.
Let's see. Number seven, AEW Grand Slam, Australia Fallout. I don't know why this wasn't even this week, but this is what Grok said. Honestly, we're gonna skip this one because we covered it last week. I just think it's funny they listed the Fallout for Grand Slam on here. Let's see. Yeah, it doesn't even go into the ratings, so never mind. Number six. Okay, this is what I've been waiting to get to: Ryan Nemeth's lawsuit against AEW. I'm gonna pull up excerpts from the actual lawsuit. All right, Ryan Nemeth, brother of TNA World Champion Nick Nemeth, Nemeth lost that title, Grok. He is no longer the champion, sir. Is reportedly pursuing legal action against AEW stemming from about harassment and threats from CM Punk during Punk's tenure in the promotion. This week, PW Insider and Fightful Select reported that Nemeth has been in discussions with legal representatives, though specific filings remain unreleased. Nope, I got the filings. Allegations trace back to backstage incidents with Nemeth claiming a hostile work environment. Nemeth has not appeared in AEW since Punk's departure in 2023, and this potential lawsuit adds to the ongoing narratives of internal tension within AEW under Tony Khan's leadership. Gronk might be a Fed head. I don't know. But from the lawsuit. Okay, here's from the lawsuit. JD, I don't, have you read any of this yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I lied. I read a little bit of it. So I'm
from the lawsuit. Yeah. Ryan Nemeth is a successful actor, comedian, and stuntman. Nemeth also followed his older brother's Nick's career and has established himself as a star performer on the professional wrestling circuit. Nemeth was under contract with AEW. AEW is owned by Shahid and Tony Khan. Shahid Khan, or is it Shad or Shahid? I think it's Shad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to mispronounce that name. Yeah, I think just Shad is the owner of the NFL franchise Jacksonville Jaguars. When it's most everyone within the Jaguars organization, including star NFL players, Tony was moved to a leadership role in the Khan family-owned Fulham Football Club. Tony ended up mismanaging Fulham, leading to multiple lawsuits against the club since he was a child. Since he was a child, Tony loved professional wrestling and had an obsession with certain wrestlers. This says this in the lawsuit. The Khan family formed AEW to provide Tony with something to do safely away from the family business. So that's the...
Did an actual lawyer wrote this?
I think Gronk wrote it.
I mean, it reads like Gronk. Okay, so I'm going to pull this up. Bix is in the chat tonight. So yeah, David Bix
is a fan. Okay, so this is Bix's wheelhouse. We should have Bix on to explain this shit to us.
I've tried.
Yeah. Okay. Bix says, for what it's worth, the LA Superior Court website doesn't have any trace of this yet. And the copy of the complaint floating around doesn't have a case number, et cetera. Okay, so Gronk might have been right. It might not be filed yet. I know at least one person has reached out to the lawyer, but there's something off about the claim that this was filed over a week ago.
There's something off about this, all right? I'll say that. There's more. Bix got more.
Yes. And then sometimes courts are slow to put stuff online, but I don't know if this is what is happening. I don't know if they're going to take this one seriously. Okay.
I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I wish we had like BJ on to something like this. Like it just reads very slapdash, I think is a term I would use for this. Like
it doesn't
seem serious.
No, it doesn't read like a lawyer wrote it. It reads like someone that hates Tony Khan is trying to take shots at him. And suit says the lawsuit reads like Stephen P. New and Eric Bischoff collaborated. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Only what it does.
They're taking personal shots at Tony Khan in the lawsuit, and not it's like what I always tell people whenever we have like memorandums that come across my desk, and some of them are for people getting in trouble. Okay, I have to review those and make recommendations on those. I say stick to the facts and take personal language out of it. Right? That's like number one. You have to take personal language out of it. If this came across my desk, I'd just like mark. I would use my red pen and I'd mark all over, man. I'd just bleed all over that damn thing and say, "Try again when you're not angry." Clearly, this is written by somebody that's angry at Tony Khan, saying and spewing lies. Like, because he's still part of the. He was part of the Jaguars draft process last year. He's still on the sidelines with the Jaguars, and he is still part of Fulham, I believe. In fact, probably to the detriment of AEW. It reads like Ryan Nemeth is saying Tony was scared and jealous of what a Chad he is.
That's exactly what it reads like, quite frankly.
That's exactly what it reads like, yeah.
That's what it does. I mean, it just seems like ridiculous. It is so like petty for the sake of petty. Like like we read the Ann Callis stuff for Janelle Grant on here all the time, and that's just like the most lawyerese. We have to get BG on here to translate what it's being written half the time. And then I read this and I'm like, dude, one of my high school kids wrote this. Like, this is ridiculous.
It keeps getting better, JD. Let's keep reading. God. Phil Brooks was another wrestler under the contract with AEW and a member of the AEW management team. Tony had a deep fascination with Brooks. Brooks undertook a campaign to terrorize and intimidate plaintiff, including physical assault. AEW and Tony Khan did nothing to protect Ryan Nemeth and other wrestling performers from despicable conduct on the part of Brooks. AEW turned a blind eye to Brooks's conduct because of Tony's deep admiration for Brooks and because he was their most popular wrestling performer. At Brooks and Tony's insistence, AEW and Tony Khan have undertaken an effort to blackball Nemeth so he can never again work in the wrestling business. JD, I cover Impact. He's been on that goddamn show every week to the detriment of the show. But he just went from one show to another. In fact, he has gotten far more TV time since he's been out of AEW than he ever got when he was working for AEW. Now he's probably making less money. Well, that's probably true, but he has not been blackballed.
No, I mean, it's blackball is such a ridiculous thing. Like, when you're blackballed, you aren't working. You just... We talked about Ricky Starks earlier, right? And yeah. Like, okay, you push who you de-push. Who are you going to de-push to push Ryan Nemeth? I used to say this guy's on my TV too much as it is. Like, what are we doing here, man? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. It continues. Let's see. This just goes into, let's see. Hold on. There was another thing that I wanted to. Okay.
Vic
on November 25th, Brooks left AEW. Well, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, Vic says this is a good one. He's shading TNA and doesn't even realize he's doing it. He totally is. Like, TNA's got this big deal with WWE right now. He's like, I'm blackballed from the industry, but I'm on TV every week with TNA. Yeah. You're not, so it doesn't really count.
Right. On November 25th, 2024, Brooks left AEW to wrestle for the organization's main competitor, WWE. Khan was heartbroken by the departure of Brooks, his idol that he adored in every way. Khan was furious with Nemeth. Khan believes that Brooks left AEW because of Nemeth. Brother?
What?
Yeah. You want me to read that again?
Yes, I do. Please.
Okay. Number 39 on the docket, or however you say it. I don't understand the language. But it says, Khan was heartbroken by the departure of Brooks, his idol that he adored in every way.
Bold statement. Read the next part again, please.
Yeah, yeah. So clearly, I don't think this is going to go. This is going to go anywhere, if it even gets filed. So I don't know.
Is Stephen P. New associated with this? Because this does read like some of the ridiculousness that he was throwing out there.
I have not heard that. So
would it surprise you? I mean, yeah, this is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous shit.
Yeah, but I thought that would be a good bit for the show.
Accomplished.
Yeah. Hold on. Scotty Briggs says, I feel like asking Grok for topics immediately after this big pep talk about effort was pretty ironic. If you can't be bothered to try, then I don't feel like I should bother to listen. I did the Grok thing as a bit, my brother.
It's a bit, dude. It's a joke. Yeah. Okay, so if you're new to our show, we do a lot of stuff with AI. Mike does a lot of the generated AI stuff for like our images, and it's a gag. Yeah. We do AI stuff as a gag. So
yeah. I legitimately pulled the top 10 news stories of the week just to see what it would come up with, and it was so ridiculous. It's like, oh, we got it. We got to run with this bit, yeah, right?
We do have
a bunch of notes about all the news that's happened this week. So.
Read my tag. Worst professional wrestling podcast. Maybe not the worst. Like, it's a joke, man. Calm down.
Yeah. So number five was Vince McMahon, WWE, and John Laurinaitis amended lawsuit filing, but they didn't have any single accurate statement. It was from back in January, so I'm not going to go into that. That's too serious of a case to make fun of, so not going to do that. Number four, The Rock disrupting WWE's WrestleMania plans. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's recent appearances on WWE SmackDown are disrupted plans for WrestleMania 41. On the February 24th episode, The Rock declared his intention to mess up someone's life, signaling his intent to insert himself into the event's main event picture. Reports from the Wrestling Observer newsletter indicate he is lobbying for a prominent role. Dave never said that. That's not true. Potentially affecting matches involving Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, or CM Punk. His statement has led to speculation about a title change or a high-profile feud, forcing WWE Creative to adjust its roadmap for the April 2025 event in Las Vegas. I don't think it's been reported anywhere that he's trying to interject himself, except for people on Twitter that have assumed as much based off of his tweets. But his appearance signal that he's very likely not going to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
I mean, none of it would surprise me if that winds up happening.
It's possible. Yeah.
Don't you want The Rock in a high profile spot in WrestleMania?
Yeah. So I'll be honest, SmackDown, next to NXT, SmackDown's probably the worst pro wrestling show out there right now. Since they moved to 3 hours, it's just been bad. And they moved all the top stars to Raw because Raw is on Netflix. So, I wasn't watching a single minute of SmackDown this week, but because The Rock was on, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch The Rock. I'm going to watch The Rock and Cody. Our whatever it was, like 25-minute segment I've ever seen in my life. I don't think it went anywhere. We did get some nuggets of potential storylines heading one way or the other. They're teasing The Rock recruiting Cody to be his corporate champion, a la Vince and Stone Cold. And then eventually I think The Rock is going to recruit his corporate champion to take on Cody. And our friend, a friend of ours, whom you know well, texted me who he thinks it might be. That recruit might be CM Punk. And now Paul Heyman owes CM Punk a favor in storyline. So that could be the whole deal. They might go CM Punk and Cody at some point down the road, probably. But I don't think WrestleMania.
Okay. I'm very happy our friend didn't include me on the text because he knew I wouldn't care. So,
well, and me and him had a text chain about I actually texted him first because Ibu actually posted the CM Punk is going to be the corporate champion. And I was like, hey, what do you think of this? Because we had a WWE text chain.
So it's kind of funny. I kind of like that idea based on the Punk character trajectory. That's actually a solid idea.
I think him turning heel and being kind of like the corporate stooge, I think would actually get some good heel heat. So we'll see.
Bix says, in all caps, Cody is literally already the perfect corporate champion. I don't think any of us could disagree with that.
No, he is literally the epitome of what a corporate champion should be. He's shaking hands, kissing babies, goes to every event, always says the right thing, always wearing a suit, doing all those things. And so why The Rock would want to recruit him as being already what he already is doesn't make sense. But
land is shredded wheat.
Yeah. But it's working. Like that's actually working for him.
Sue agrees. Sue says Punk leaving for the sellout stuff will be good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hate it.
If only Mania was in Saudi, well then he would have to suck a Saudi covered blood money dick, whatever he said it was.
God, I can't wait. I cannot wait for that to happen someday. It's gonna be just great.
Yeah. All right, let's go down the line. Number three, new matches added to AEW Revolution 2025. Let's see if these are accurate. I think they're not accurate. Oh, we got a couple that are inaccurate, which excites me. Okay,
I'll go for it.
AEW World Championship: John Moxley versus Copeland. Okay, that one's true.
Cope.
Women's Championship: Toni Storm versus TBD. Potential rematch with Mariah May. I could see that being true. I could see them running that back.
They did an angle on Dynamite this week, so sure. Okay.
Yep. Continental Championship, Kazuchika Okada versus Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston's not even on TV.
Eddie Kingston's still hurt, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. But I don't know who Okada's trying to have a match with. He called Buddy Matthews the B-word again. That's his shtick. So.
Yeah. Bitch.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Let's see. Mercedes Moné versus Julia Hart. I don't think that's a match either. It's going to be Momo Watanabe, isn't it?
That's what I thought they were setting up.
It's Momo Watanabe, Grok. And then tag team match, the Young Bucks versus FTR, which I don't think that's true either.
It's a safe bet if you're going to put money on a match that could happen, but no.
Yeah, Bix says they already announced the Mariah Tony match Revolution. Yeah, I thought they did. Yeah, I thought they did. Yeah. So guys, this is why you don't rely on AI. That's so full of shit.
And that's the bit.
That's the bit. That's the bit. That's why I decided to do the bit. Come on. All right. Okay. Now I thought this story was pretty interesting. Shane McMahon seeking equity in AEW. Shane McMahon met with AEW president Tony Khan in the summer of 2024, proposing an equity stake and creative control in the company. According to Jonathan Coachman on the Coach and Bro show this week, the meeting reportedly held at Arlington Airport detailed Shane's vision for a leadership role, leveraging his WWE experience. However, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter reported that Khan rejected the proposal, citing strategic differences, and ceased communication after the initial discussion. I think Fightful is the one that reported that. Mm-hmm. So far on this one, Grok is accurate. Shane's potential involvement in AEW remains speculative, but this development has sparked discussions about his future in wrestling and AEW's organizational structure. The word that Fightful used with Tony Khan ghosted him after Shane McMahon sought equity in the company, which I find to be hilarious that Shane McMahon would ask that, but also kind of makes sense.
I'm not surprised at all that Shane McMahon asked for that. I mean, we speculated last summer that Shane would come in and have an executive role in the company. I didn't, I don't, we both laughed off the idea of him taking over the company or being creative, right, because his creative legendarily sucks. Yes. Like, and I think that I saw on Reddit people like Tony Khan, oh, huge mistake. I mean, but for the most part, people are like, yes, that's the right move. He should have absolutely ghosted Shane McMahon. Like, what was he supposed to do? Right. Like, isn't that how it goes? Hey, I want this. Give me this. And as the owner, you can go, no. Like,
it's like, why would I do that?
Like, Tony Khan's had his booking flaws the last couple of years. Show's been better. So
I will say, like the last month, maybe month. Like, I don't think I've seen a bad episode of Dynamite or Collision.
I agree. Like, I think Dynamite's been better. But it's like over the last couple of years, Tony Khan's had his flaws. Still better than Shane McMahon.
Yes. 100%.
Like, all time.
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000% better. In fact, I think Revolution, like the main event is pretty weak with Cope versus Mox. But I think you go down that card and you got like Kyle Fletcher versus Ospreay in a steel cage. You got Takeshita versus Omega, which is going to freaking rule again. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Mercedes versus Momo Watanabe is going to be really good. Mariah May and Tony Storm going at it again should be really good. I think the Hurt Syndicate is probably taking on Cage and Lance Archer. I think that's going to be a sneaky good match. I don't think people are going to like not expect that one to be very good. I think it'll surprise some people. So I think Revolution looks freaking stacked as hell right now.
I agree. I'm very excited for the Revolution card. I think it's going to be the best show. I get on paper why you'd think Mox versus Cope would be a good match, or be at least a draw match. I mean, but I just think the Death Riders thing is flat. And I think that Cope has been back in like a year ago. I would have been excited by this today. That being said, I think the match will be good because I think they'll both bust their ass to have a good match. So
right.
I'm all right with it. I don't love it.
But what you could say that maybe Cope is too old. You could say that he's not a draw. What you can't say is he's not putting in absolute maximum effort because he has been. Yeah.
Dude, that since the day that dude came to AEW, he has tried so damn hard to be good. Right. Yeah. And it's like, you cannot ever question his effort. Like, the dude broke his leg jumping off a cage through a table. He should have gone through the table, not tried to land on his, for the life of me. I don't know what the hell that dude was
thinking. I think he was trying to protect Malakai. And keep in mind, he did that with Malakai, knowing Malakai did not want to get pinned, and he was still trying to protect him and make him look good and put him over even in a loss, right? Yeah. Like, he was putting Malakai over even though Malakai was losing. By not being pinned, he had to pass out, but he was still doing everything he could to take care of Malakai.
Malakai got that bat back. Can't stand it for 3 seconds.
Yeah,
he's Mike Gilbert.
He's the hunchback of AEW.
He's gone now. What a, honest to God, kind of a waste of a signing, to be honest with you. Like, he's been an albatross in that company pretty much the entire run, right?
Yes, he has. Well, the number one story, according to Grok, now I didn't have anything to do with this. I did say to include Tessa Blanchard in the prompt because I wanted to get into the Tessa Blanchard story because I had a tweet yesterday that blew up.
Your boy went viral.
By a couple of prominent reporters, and I'm trying to actually find the tweet in here because I have like a million notifications on this damn thing. I'm trying to find it, but I did blow it up because it did blow up. I got like 40,000 some odd views on this thing. And I'm trying to, okay, here it is. I'm actually going to play the clip from Brace for Impact yesterday. Let's see. Sorry, guys, this is bad radio. So if you're just listening, I promise I'm not that bad at my job. Okay. maybe. Let's see. Boom. All right. Here we go. This is me talking about Tessa Blanchard, TNA, and what they're doing to the media. And TNA, they're doing a really bad thing with this Tessa. And what I mean is they're putting her out in the media in all these different markets. And they're telling people to interview her and they can't talk about the allegations, right? And they're dangling other TNA wrestlers in front of them saying, if you interview Tessa and you don't talk about the issues, you can interview Johendra, you can interview XYZ also. But if you refuse to interview Tessa, we're not going to let you interview anybody. So that's what they're doing. They're playing this game with the media. And a lot of people, two people I know specifically, have said, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to be dictated to what questions I can ask Tessa. So if I can't ask her hard questions, I'm not going to interview her at all, and I don't want to interview anybody else.
Well, I mean, we would call that legental activity, right?
Yeah. We're learning. You know, so I'll go ahead and tell a little bit of a story about. Yeah. So people are saying this is a new thing. This is WWE dictating policy for TNA, and TNA is trying to be more like WWE. No. I can tell you that we interviewed two wrestlers back in the Brace for Impact days, mm-hmm. Moose and Steve Macklin. Now with Moose, nothing was off the table except one topic, and it's not the topic that you would think would be off the table. It was COVID. And the guy on the phone said, he called me on the phone. He's like, look, you can ask him whatever you want. I don't care. Don't talk about COVID because Moose doesn't know anything about COVID. And I was like, this was in like 2022, I think, maybe 2021, like 2021, 20. I can't remember exactly the time frame. I was sick of COVID at that point anyway. So I was like, I'm fine with that because I don't want to talk about COVID anyway. And the first thing we did was ask him about his contract, and he fucking lied to us.
Lied to us.
He lied to us.
Through his teeth while giving, yeah. I think it was Sean Ross Sapp. Like, I think we talked to Sean Ross Sapp, I mean, like almost immediately after we posted the interview, and he was like, no, you signed. Like,
yeah. Like he told another podcast that he had signed. We didn't get into the DV stuff. That was pretty early in me interviewing people at the time. That had already been covered before. So I didn't even think to bring that one up because we had like 10 minutes with the guy. So I wanted to talk about his contract status. And then of course, talk about, there was a couple other questions. None of them really softball. I thought we asked some pretty good questions. We had a good time with him. Okay. And then like a year later, I get offered Steve Macklin. And I get the phone call again. I was like, okay, like if he tells me I can't ask Steve military questions because we have that in common, I'm not going to interview Steve. Right. And so he calls me and he says, you can ask him whatever you want, but don't ask him about his relationship with Deonna Purrazzo. I was like, okay, that's easy. I wasn't going to ask about that relationship. I don't give a fuck about that anyway. So they did dictate to me what I couldn't ask, but it was questions I wasn't planning on asking anyway. And it was, everything else was on the table at the time. So, but that is not anything new. 5 years ago, when this stuff broke out with Tessa, they had her answer questions immediately on a conference call. Sean Ross Sapp asked her about the situation specifically with the racism issue, and she just denied it. Right. And their opinion is that she has addressed the situation 5 years ago and she doesn't need to talk about it anymore. The problem is she's a racist chance on live TNA shows. And the longer that this festers and the longer she avoids talking about it, the worse it's going to get for her. This plan that they have in place with her being pushed out into the media, them trying to control the narrative, is not working. People are rebelling against it. It's going to come back and bite them in the ass tenfold. She needs to get out ahead of it. I know some people that know her, right? And I've had my buddy BQ do some reporting on this, and he's talked to people in management there. They believe that she had that moment with La Rosa Negra in, I can't remember where it was. It might've been in Japan, where she said the word, right? She said the word in that altercation, but they don't believe that she's like a white supremacist based off of who she surrounds herself with, where she lives, like Mexico, who she's married to, who she used to be married to. She was dating with Ricochet. She was roommates with Moose. She was trained by Cedric Alexander. They don't feel that she's a racist and she's not acting racist in their company. That is the company's stance, right? You can like that or not like that, but that's what they believe. And they're like, we have not witnessed anything like that. And those two squashed that beef years ago. So they're like, we should all just move on. The problem is people now have realized that they can go to these shows and they can get themselves over and they can get, you know what I mean? And they're going to, those chants are still going to persist if she doesn't get out ahead of it. She's got to answer the questions. And I think that she should talk to Shawn Michaels. And I'll tell you why. Shawn Michaels had years of allegations against him of being bully, being a jerk, being a pain in the ass, being a junkie, doing all kinds of dastardly deeds. And that man answered every single question under the sun for years. He was even on a media conference call with all of the wrestling journalists asking him about potentially drugging people, doing all kinds of stuff. And he sat there and answered every single question, and he did it with dignity and grace. And I heard him do the same thing with Steve Austin. I heard him do the same thing on different radio shows throughout the years. He handled it. And you know what? Nobody gives the guy crap because like he handled it and he answers the questions in a way that you actually kind of believe that he might be telling the truth. Right. Mm-hmm. she needs to get out ahead of it. She needs to get like a coach or something, or else this is going to continue to persist. And eventually she's probably going to lose her spot in TNA, because what they don't want is every time they go live is to have She's a Racist chance on their TV.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad one. When you interview a celebrity, it is not crazy to have their publicist or their agent or whoever say, this is off limits, yeah. Right? You want to interview Tom Cruise, you are not allowed to ask him Scientology questions.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Now, does it make for softball interviews? Absolutely. But when you want those big name star interviews, you have to play with that. Now, that being said, is TNA doing a good job with this?
No.
No.
No, they are not.
Well, and they're acting like they're in the power position with some of these outlets. And they're not. They're not. I can tell you the two interviews that we did absolute shit numbers for us. They didn't pop anything. Dude, I interviewed Sean Merriman last year. I was like, he's like a real celebrity. He's like an NFL legend. And it did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. So these interviews are not really popping numbers unless they say something controversial. I think Tessa answering real questions would actually do numbers. But if on your airways and you're giving her softball questions and she's not addressing anything and she's just, being nice. I'm sure she's being nice and promoting the show. Like, no one wants to watch that. That doesn't help you out. It only helps out the company. So why would you do that? Why would you subject yourself to that? So you're better off not interviewing her at all.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't help you. TNA, they have that WWE working relationship, but they aren't WWE.
Yeah.
Right. And they just have to, it's not working. It's not going to go away. They need to figure out a different plan.
Yeah. I think they're like, well, we're not going to, cause it really isn't that many people, but their crowds are not that big. So it only takes like 10, 15 people to get a chant going.
Especially at Full Sail. We talked about that earlier. That Full Sail crowd loves to get itself over. So once they know once it becomes a meme, we're stuck.
Yeah. And I had, there were some people that were at Full Sail when that chant started and in San Antonio when that chant started. Now, I cannot corroborate this, so don't act like I'm reporting this. I'm not reporting this. This is just what people that were there that bought tickets told me. Okay. So let me just get that out of the way. That the people that were chanting She's a Racist were also in line to get autographs with Tessa after the show.
Of course they were.
Yeah. So I wasn't there, so I didn't see it with my own eyes. So that's just what people told me. That could be total bullshit, but the longer this continues, the longer she tries to avoid the situation, the worse it's going to get. They need to get out in front of it, and they're not doing a good job. And, I might have to heat with that company because I talked about this openly, and other media outlets did not want to talk about that openly because I think they want to have a symbiotic relationship with their communications people there in TNA. Mm-hmm. Our show does not depend on access to those companies. So if I hear something and I get it corroborated from multiple people, I'm going to go ahead and go with it, which is what happened. So I don't care how it makes anybody look. It's the truth. And I disagree with that policy. I really do. I think they should just get her out there and do an interview. Like, even if it's like busted open, like just get out there and let them ask those questions.
Our platform is small enough where we don't need we don't need the support of a company, right?
Right.
We can just be ourselves.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the show, or let's get to the comments. I don't think we've only, like, David Bixenspan and Sue Williams took over our comments. Fight to Live is back. Finally, wrestling talk after 45 minutes.
You left, my man. You left.
Yeah, well, welcome back. Let's talk politics again. I'm just kidding. Let's see. Nathan, did we see who won the election? Are we sure these chants are not meant to be laudatory? Maybe. He said they were in Texas and Florida. Maybe. Maybe. Let's see.
No comment. I can't comment.
Oh, you know what? I can't. I'm not actually going to read that one. Sorry. I love you, Australian. I'm not going to do that one. All right. I think we're going to go ahead and call it a night. We're over time. We're an hour and 8 minutes in. I do thank everybody for being here. Thanks to everybody that tuned in on X. We got a lot of viewers on X tonight. So thank you for that. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. I will try to get some midweek content out this week, especially if something breaks. Unfortunately, nothing really broke in the middle of the week. So I didn't hit up the Patreon. I saved everything for the Brace for Impact show, but yesterday I had a big show at like 90 minutes. So if you're a TNA fan, I put out a couple of videos already. They're on the YouTube right now, so go ahead and check those out. But go to Patreon. That's where you get all the best content. And if you want this show ad-free in your inbox right away, first thing, go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. That's the best way to listen to this podcast. But
absolutely.
Yep. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain from...
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Mari Gold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.